In 2005, I went to an American Ornithologists Union meeting in Santa Barbara, for which the biggest highlight was going on a field trip to see nesting snowy plovers. The beach where they nest is at Coal Oil Point Reserve, part of the University of California Santa Barbara Natural Reserve System, and it was thrilling to see how the university and some nonprofits were working together to create a safe haven for the lovely birds. Their docent program was at the heart of the project. They trained volunteers from the university, Santa Barbara Audubon Society, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the city to guard over the beach throughout daylight hours. Sections of the upper beach where plovers were nesting were roped off. The docents not only enforced dog leash regulations, they served as ambassadors for the plovers, with spotting scopes trained on the birds to draw people in to how adorable and vulnerable they are. Most people cooperated really well with the docents, some so thrilled to get such great looks at adorable birds that they became docents themselves. Not everyone was good-natured about it. One was quoted saying she'd walked her dogs along the beach without leashes for 30 years and was not about to stop. But regulations, enforcement, and a lot of goodwill generated by the docents have made this an extraordinarily successful program that has produced hundreds of new snowy plovers. Of course, beaches are uniquely vulnerable habitats. This year's oil spill, right during the start of plover breeding season, is jeopardizing both nesting success and many of the adult birds. Interestingly, in a year when Minnesota is considering expanding Enbridge's pipelines through extremely vulnerable habitat, we're not hearing a lot about that oil spill in the news. With regard to beachgoers, the Coal Oil Point Reserve program has been a model of success, but protection of snowy plovers in other places along the California coastline has not been as successful. Many beaches are open to automobile and off-road traffic, and new restrictions, even very localized, limited ones, to protect plovers have been met with anger and belligerence, just as protections to protect piping plovers along the Atlantic coast have been in some areas. One place where people have been cooperative has been Delaware's Cape Henlopen State Park. Piping plovers use limited parts of the beach, and other beaches there are completely open. I visited a plover nesting area there during my conservation big year. We were allowed on a tiny part of the beach at the point, and because people have been honoring the restrictions, it was easy to see and photograph the plovers simply by staying out of the roped-off areas. That also happened in Maine at the very popular Popham Beach State Park. I went there twice during my big year. It was amazing to me to see how easy it was to observe piping plovers and least terns when I faced one way, and over 100 beachgoers when I turned around and faced the other way, right from the public bath and changing rooms. Thanks to clever crowd management, people were sort of automatically led to the public part of the beach, and I saw absolutely no human footprints on the protected side of the roped-off area. People were allowed to walk along even the nesting area beach below the high tide mark, but no one was there while I observed, and the plovers and terns seemed completely relaxed as if they'd learned the patterns of human activity there. I had a wonderful time taking photos of them eating, preening, and loafing. So people and plovers can share beaches. The first most essential requirement was for people to know that plovers exist and to recognize their value as fellow travelers on this increasingly crowded planet. Outdoor and environmental education programs are squeezed out of most school curricula nowadays, so it's up to those of us who are aware of these lovely birds to draw other people into that awareness. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.